Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mary Blake Show. And today, as we discuss spiritual commitments and life work, I'm excited to have Joan Robinson, who's better known as Keisha St. Joan, as my guest. And Keisha gives generously and constantly in her, of her many talents in her work in jazz, Native Americans, politics, and spirituality really keep her on the run. So I would just like to say hi, Keisha, and I'm so happy to have you here.
Well, this is a pleasure. a real pleasure, and we always have pleasure, but this is a real pleasure. How are you
today? That's fantastic. Well, first of all, I understand that you are a native New Yorker. I was here about 3 months before I ever met a native New Yorker. So.
Wow.
Tell me about being a native New Yorker. No, I'm serious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was born in Harlem Hospital, on 135th, and it's at Lenox, yes. And that's where I was born, and I resided in Harlem until I was 10 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So at least I stayed there for 10 months, and then I moved downtown to 64th Street and between 11th and 12th Avenues. And that was called the San Juan Hill area, which is now called the Lincoln Center area.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And
well,
go
ahead.
Oh, and I was going to say, and on 63rd Street in the same houses, the Phipps houses, were the Monk family, Thelonious Monk and his family.
Uh-huh.
So the children and I went to school together, the nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're very well acquainted with some of the giants in the music industry, among other things.
Yes, yes. Well, I went on tour with Lionel Hampton and Dizzy Gillespie. I've worked with Doc Cheatham, the great Doc Cheatham. Oh, my God. I did things with Max Roach, Kenny Barron, Buster Williams, Ben Reilly.
Wow.
Oh, God. I don't know if you remember Walter Bishop Jr. and Walter Davis Jr. and Roger Ram Ramirez, who wrote Love a Man.
Oh my.
God. David Fathead Newman, who was with... I mean, I've worked with so many people that it has been just a blessing for me. Junior Mance, Harold Mayburn, and
oh my God,
it's so many, and there's so many more.
Right. How was your talent first discovered? I'm curious. What you didn't actually start out to be a jazz singer, did you?
No, I started out as an opera singer. And,
oh my word!
Yes, I was Micaela in Carmen. I was in La Boheme. Oh my God! Don't tell me that I forgot her name. And I was Marguerite in Faust, but I was a composer.
Oh,
and
where did you study originally?
I studied up in Harlem. I went right back up into Harlem and went to a school up there. It was the Lowe's Victoria, and in the Lowe's Victoria was this music school. And they were excellent, and I used to do radio programs with them. I used to tap dance.
Oh, my.
Do, Yes, because I had to learn tap dance before I sang, because I was too young to be able to take voice lessons, and I couldn't start voice lessons until I was 12. And
I
started music.
Well, that is responsible. That's good. Save your voice.
Yes, and so I tap dance since I was 9 years old. Ask me to do it now. I don't think.
Never mind. I understand.
Yeah, okay. And then by the time I was 17 and a half, I was with Charles Ward, had a Harlem opera group, and we used to study up in the hotel Teresa, up in the Teresa Hotel. So I would go to work during the day, and I would come home, and I'd run back to rehearsals at night at the Hotel Teresa. Many nights I slept on their floor because coming back to Brooklyn was a little too late for me.
Oh, my. When did you move to Brooklyn?
I moved to Brooklyn when I was 14 years old.
I see.
Yes. So
that was a lot of travel to go up to Harlem and study.
Yes. Yes. And we rehearsed practically every night.
Oh, my goodness.
Every night we rehearsed.
Uh-huh.
And it was very interesting. I loved it. But then
Where did you go to school? Just regular school, I should say, you know.
Right now, the school that I graduated from in 1953 is now a school for the arts, and it's right next to Local 802, where I go, and I'm also on the Justice for Jazz Artists, because we have been fighting to get our pension for I can't tell you how many years, and many jazz musicians die by the wayside because they have not enough money to take care of themselves, and we've been struggling and fighting to see if we could get pensions for them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
So you graduated from the school for the arts.
No, it was then my junior high school, LaSalle Junior High School. It wasn't. Mm. It turned out for the arts after I left the school. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
Yeah. And then I went to Eastern District here in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So Eastern District High School.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a journey. It's been a journey.
Yeah. Well, how did you, how did you decide to switch from opera to jazz? That's an interesting.
I then moved to Philadelphia. I moved to Philadelphia in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to Philadelphia, I ended up in this wonderful house. And when I say wonderful, because there was a bass player in the next house who owned the house next door. And he played jazz. And he had a jazz combo. And then I moved into his name was Reginald Lovett, and he was the brother of Leroy Lovett, who wrote the music In the Dark for Black and Blue. You remember Black and Blue with Carrie Smith and Ruth Brown, and Carrie Smith, Ruth Brown, and Linda Hopkins.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay.
And Carrie,
that's amazing.
Yeah, Carrie sang In the Dark. So I ended up in that house, and Reggie was into jazz. Reggie and his wife, Madge, who is still a dear friend of mine today. And
they were
all into jazz. And so Reggie started teaching me about jazz. And then I got my very first jazz album, which was Porgy and Bess with Miles Davis, by Miles Davis.
Oh, my. Okay.
Who turned out to be my cousin-in-law by marrying Cicely Tyson. Okay? It's all in the family.
Well, let's talk about that family of yours, since you brought it up.
Oh, wow.
How are you related to Ms. Tyson?
Cousin.
Mm-hmm.
My father was born in Nevis, British West Indies. And so was Cicely was born there as well. And we're related by cousins. I have not looked to see how many cousins removed, but we're all linked. And every time somebody sees me, they say, yes, I can see it from you, because from our cheeks go up. From the cheek up,
sure.
Around
the cheek,
eyes.
The cheekbones, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can see
cheekbone,
the family,
uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
And
sure.
It's a very interesting family. I can go on about them, too. Very interesting. But
I'm not sure how many of your cousins I've met yet, but
oh, please. And I'm still meeting cousins. Okay.
I'll bet you are.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, so I'm telling you, it has been a very interesting life. You know.
I bet you.
And so that's when I started. They used to hear me sing, and they used to say how when the telephone rang, that I would hit that same note. They would listen and hear that I could hit that same note. The telephone was ringing. So one day, the guy next door comes and he says, well, why don't you sing with the group? Why don't you come out and sing with the group? Come on. I said, but I never sang jazz. And he says, well, we've got a gig. I said, well, I'll tell you what. If they hire me, then you got me. And they hired me.
How about that?
And they've kept me ever since. And that has been since 1959. That was in 1959 when I started the jazz. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, opera lost a coloratura, and jazz got somebody special.
Oh, honey, thank you. I loved the classical, you know. And the closest, I'll tell you, the closest to the voices was Kathleen Battle. She's the closest to my voice.
I see. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I would hear me when she sang. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that's,
you know.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also understand that there's some Native American cousins that you have.
Well, I know none of my Native American family. How that happened, it's my mother.
Oh.
She was either Blackfoot or part Blackfoot.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I got that, but I didn't know my mother.
I see.
I only heard about her.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, a couple of years ago, one of my sisters, because my father got married and had four daughters, four beautiful girls, And the baby sister found a picture after my father died with this lady, and she sent it to me, and she said, "I believe this is your mother."
Oh, my goodness.
So I just got the picture about 2 years ago.
Oh, that's amazing. Amazing. Well, where were your mother and father married?
My mother and father were never married.
Oh, I see.
They were never married.
Mm-hmm.
But when they met, they lived together in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I was born up in Harlem. Mm-hmm.
I see.
Yeah.
So who raised you?
My aunt, my father's sister.
I see. Okay.
My father's sister raised me, and that's when I went down to West 64th Street when I was 10 months old.
Oh, I see. And you don't know what happened to your mother?
I know that by the time I was going on 14, she died. And how I know is because a neighbor in the house came and told me first, because no one else knew, but this neighbor in the house, how she knew, I don't know. But she told me when I came home from school one day that my mother had died.
Interesting. Well, you know, giving birth is an animal function, and raising a child is a human function. So, I guess your mother, your aunt was really your mother. She raised you.
Yes, she raised me from 10 months old. Yeah, but my mother did come to me when I was in my 20s. Spiritually,
okay.
She came to me just voice alone, but I knew it was her.
Uh-huh.
You know. So she shows me that she's still there.
Okay. So she there's this strong connection on the spiritual level. I gather that your aunt was a rather strong woman.
And my aunt was a very strong woman. Okay, very strong. And the thing about it, I was a very strong person as well. And strength is wonderful. The only thing I could say that was really beautiful is my aunt had a very spiritual strength about her. And I have that about me. And so that's why I can say that it finally worked itself out, because she was very different from me. And I was determined not to be like her.
You understand? That
I was determined to be me.
That's a goal in life. even if it starts out negative, it ended up very good, I would say.
Yes.
You did mention that your mother came to you on a spiritual level. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your spiritual background?
About my spiritual background. When we say spiritual background, I'm Episcopalian. I've always been in the choir. I became the lead singer in the choir by the time I was 12 years old. There was this woman, Mrs. Brown, I will never forget her voice, was the most gorgeous, gorgeous voice. And then she took ill. And she couldn't sing anymore with us, and then she left. So they had put me in her place, which was a blessing for me, because in the music, You know, especially when you're singing to God, it's the most wonderful thing to be able to do, to sing to God. So it drew me closer, even though I wasn't doing everything I was supposed to be doing. Okay?
Okay.
You understand.
Who does?
But still, there was that wonderful, beautiful connection between God and I through the music.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I would have lived to even see this age if I didn't have the music.
Yeah,
so,
I know what you mean.
Oh, you know, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it has been a wonderful journey, you know, very, very wonderful. And as far as my mother was concerned, I was in I was acting at that time because I worked for the government. And then when I left my job, I would go to this theater group that I was with. And
mm-hmm.
so one night I came home and I was so extremely exhausted. And I was trying to figure out how could I be able to continue to doing this and working during the day. And I heard mm-hmm. her say, just close your eyes and be quiet and rest
mm-hmm.
yourself. And I'm saying, who is this talking to me? Because it was like you and I speaking to each other.
Right.
Okay. And then it was like the Holy Spirit let me know that was my mother. So I really appreciated that, to know that she, and I think I was about 27 or 28 years old at that time.
Oh boy! Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And did you study on the spiritual studies?
By the time I was 35, I really, really was getting ready to take myself out of here. Because I had gotten tired, you know, the constant fighting and the trying to make life go this way, and you're pushing it this way, but yet it's pushing you another way. And finally, I kept on saying, "This, I've just got to get out of here." And after 3 or 4 tries, the Holy Spirit said to me that if I couldn't love and respect myself, at least love and respect the God that brought me through it all. And I said to him, if you teach me who you are and who I am to you, then I promise you, you will never hear me say that I will ever try to commit suicide again. And he said, okay. Just like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it started. And I was taken to the First Church of Religious Science under Raymond Charles Barker. At that time, they were at Lincoln Center in Alice Tully Hall.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I started with them. And that has been such a beautiful and wonderful journey from that time on that I am so grateful that I obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
if I didn't obey, I'd be in trouble.
Well, who introduced you to this?
I had a friend who was a minister. And
mm-hmm.
his name was, Charles Barron? Yes, Charles Barron. He lived over in Kew Gardens. And he used to preach at a church over there, and a beautiful church. I forgot the name, but it's very, It was very well known, the church. And so he said to me, you know, I have a friend of mine who's looking for a nice young lady, and he's a minister. And I said, a minister? And, very interesting. So he said, yes, he's a minister, and he's looking for a nice friend. So anyway, I went to meet the minister, and he told me he was a minister of metaphysics. And I said, metaphysics? He said, yes, have you ever heard of metaphysics? And I said, no. He said, well, it's the study of the spirit. Like you study physics, which is study of, you know, down here. And I said, oh, I want to learn that. Well, I'm going to tell you. The other story is on how the other forces were trying to keep me away from learning. But it didn't matter. I got to learn.
Good.
And I've been moving forward ever since.
Great.
Yeah,
that's quite remarkable that it just happened that way, and you actually studied with Barker.
I'm sorry.
You studied with Barker.
Yes, I started. I studied with Raymond Charles Barker. I studied with Louise Hay. Louise, oh, I just loved Louise, and I did love Raymond Charles Barker because he was right on point. He pulled no punches, and he was really a wonderful teacher. And there was another one, Pace. Pace was there. I forgot
Eric Pace.
Eric Pace. But Eric and I always butt heads together.
Okay. I had a few clashes with Eric Pace myself.
Yes, you know.
His connection with spirituality was a little bit tenuous.
You understand.
They have
to understand that even though they're teachers, we are also independent teachers of ourselves. We have to be in charge of that. They can't
absolutely
be in charge of that. And he wanted to be in charge of that. And he couldn't.
Well, yes, no. No one has all the answers. I have learned that really, really well. That message, and you follow, you learn as much as you can from the teachers that you're exposed to, but then your final message has to be connection, has to be with God Himself. And of course, God is so multifaceted that there's room in Him for every one of us. So
yes. Isn't that beautiful?
It is.
That is
it's
so wonderful.
Wonderful.
You know?
Yes.
And you have that nowhere else. We can't do that, but He can.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
So it's a beautiful thing when you do find your connection.
Yes. Yes. It's important because that joy and that peace and that sweetness that people are always searching for. They're always looking for it. They're running around looking for something that they can't find because they're not looking in the right place.
They're looking outside instead of inside.
That's right. And nothing outside can take the joy and give you the joy that the inside can give. You know,
that's right.
That's very important. Very important. And when you get it,
and,
you better hold on to it.
And of course, the music is the connection, that goes beyond the mind and beyond the little squabbles of this, you got to do it this way or you have to do it that way. And if God wanted us to all do the same thing, wouldn't he have made us all alike?
In a heartbeat, it would have been easier. Okay, let's set it up just like this. Okay, it would have been easier, but each
it certainly
everyone.
Would have, but boring. All the
okay.
Wouldn't it have been boring if we were all the same? Oh my word!
Okay, ho hum.
So you're still connected with the science of mind?
They can't get me unhooked. Okay? They cannot get me unhooked. I am in there for the duration. And I'm so grateful. I told God I am his biggest baby.
Okay.
I'm his biggest baby. He can't get rid of me.
All righty then. So tell me, this work, I believe you've been doing work with the Native Americans. Is that right?
Yes. And the reason why is because Chief Osceola of the Matinacoc Nation, we became very close back in the 70s, and we are like brother and sister. And when he found out that I was part Native, that's when he made me president of his National Alliance for Native Americans, Longhouse, Inc. And we've been now doing putting on programs. We did a beautiful show at St. Peter's in the City Corp building at 54th and Lexington on Natives in Jazz. And we had Native Americans. We saluted, here we go. I'm having those moments.
Well, you just have so jam packed. You have so much to say. I know what you mean. The memory bank is overloaded.
yes. And then after I get off, then I'll say, oh, but that's what it was. And then I can't call
2 o'clock in the morning is my favorite time. Sit bolt upright in the morning and say, Bucephalus.
Oh, yes.
That was Alexander the Great's horse's name. Of course it was. But thank God for the internet, because instead of going for hours and hours, we can look it up now. It's wonderful.
Isn't that something? Yes.
It truly is.
Oh, God, I tell you, life is so
beautiful. So Native Americans in jazz, and so you saluted many of them.
And so now we're getting ready also to put on one in May at the Central Library in Queens.
Great.
Yes, this time we're showing a film on the lost tribe of the Tainos and where, it's going to be a beautiful film and questioning and answering and dancers. We're going to have dancers. Yes, beautiful dancing. And it's May the 14th. So if anyone in the area, they can come out and see this beautiful show for free at the library in Queens. The Central Library.
Now, where exactly is that library located?
I believe it's 169th in Merrick Boulevard, I believe.
Okay.
169th.
Merrick.
Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, so that's coming along beautifully. And plus, you know, there's so much that I'm involved with, you know. It's
I know you're always running someplace.
Oh, God. There was a boyfriend of mine used to call me Sprint.
I see. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
That's
Miss on the run.
And that's when I was in my 20s.
Oh, my.
Okay? So I developed.
Well, it was just natural for you.
I became even better at it.
I see. Okay. So this work that you're doing with the Native Americans, Chief Osceola, is that correct?
Yes, Chief Osceola.
Okay.
And that's
pretty interesting. I mean,
And I'm very anxious about it because I know that we're even going to be doing even greater things as it grows, you know, because we have been doing doo-wop shows since the 80s.
Oh, my. That's interesting.
With all the great doo-wop performers. And so now we're also advancing now into the jazz thing. And another thing, it just dawned on me, talking about cousins, I would like to say Bobby Jay, who was on CBS for many, many years, had his program on CBS, and he used to sing with Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, and gorgeous voice. I found out he was my cousin through Chief Osceola, because Bobby Jay is also, he's Native American, and I forgot what tribe he is, but his other part of his family was born in Nevis, and they're part of my family.
And what was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Broadbelt, Broadbelt. But
okay.
I used to tell everyone, you can call me Widestrap for short.
I see. Okay. But you weren't all that wide. Well, that's very, very interesting. Yeah. So you don't have any. Do you know your mother's name even?
Yes, I know her name. Her name was Louise Boswell.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
She wasn't related to the Boswell sisters, was she?
I don't know.
Connie Boswell? She was a famous singer in the 40s.
Really?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah.
Really?
You have to look up the Boswell sisters.
Wow. You know, because I'm going to tell you, I also found out that my mother had other children. So I have siblings. But I don't know who they are.
Okay.
You know?
Very
interesting. So next time I come on your show, part two. Part two.
Yeah, that will be very interesting. Huh? My goodness. I'm just wondering. That would be very interesting. Wow.
Wouldn't it be something to find more in my family?
Yeah, let's see. Connie Boswell was born December 3rd, 1907 in Kansas City, Missouri.
Wow. In Kansas.
Yeah.
And my people, I understand, came out of West Virginia.
Uh-huh. There's also a Martha
Boswell.
In the
Boswell. Chesapeake area. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, she was raised in New Orleans.
Mm.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Uh-huh. So, you know, she started out as the Boswell sisters.
And that could very well have been part of the family.
Yeah.
Because Boswell is not a common name.
No, it really isn't. No, it just really is not. That's and she did have high cheekbones.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
You never know.
So, no.
I'm telling you, and my family is very interesting because you never know who's in it.
Yeah.
You really never know.
Yeah.
You never know who's in it.
It's a, this, she was one of the finest jazz singers in the 1930s.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, and I really know nothing about her.
You didn't even know she existed.
No.
Isn't that fascinating? You see, I'm older than you are. I've been around a little bit longer than you have.
Shucks.
So. Mm-hmm. I know. It's a...
I love it.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah,
she... Then she contracted, it says she contracted polio as an infant, always used a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
It didn't slow her down any.
Isn't that something? Because when the music is in you, the music is in you, darling.
Oh,
and it has to come
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. Oh, it sure does.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly does.
Such a blessing.
Oh, It's going to be very interesting to, for you to explore that and find out. You'll probably find out you're related sometime.
Of course,
you know?
Of course. I remember this man. He used to follow me all the time. And he finally said to me, he said, Keisha, there's a young man that I really want you to meet. I think he's a nice man, and he would be a nice man for you. And I said, really? He says, yes, I'm going to introduce you to him. And surely, this young man and I got together and found out we were cousins. Okay?
Never mind. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that funny?
One time my baby sister was riding on the train and she met this gorgeous guy and they both fell in love with each other instantly until she went home and my father said, that's your cousin. Okay.
How about that? Well,
wow.
You never know, do you?
No.
Well, now you've got something to explore, that's for sure.
Yes. So try to check out Connie Boswell.
Yeah.
See where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
Where if they were part of my family or what, you know? Oh my God! I told you.
Well, you might be able to add a few dozen more cousins if you really work at it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh God, I tell you. There's so many people out there, and I think they all belong to me. I really think so. You know?
It's so fascinating.
Yes.
So where can somebody hear you sing?
Ah, well, since I've produce most of my things. There is something on Monday, the first Monday night of every month, we have International Women in Jazz. And people come to either perform, those who love to perform and would love to perform, we have musicians who come in and play, and then people come in and they could sing or they can play their instrument and perform. And it's $5 from, and it's at St. Peter's at 54th and Lexington Avenue every first Monday of the month from 7 to 9, sometimes from 7 to 9:30. And
now that's downstairs
that's
on the lower
right
level.
Right downstairs, the lower level, and you have to get there before 8 o'clock because I believe what they do is start locking the doors at 8, and then no one can get in.
That's the 54th Street entrance.
Yes, the 54th Street entrance.
Right
and
around the corner
between
from Lexington,
Lexington
yeah.
and Third.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, between yeah. Lexington and Third. And
okay.
I'm there. I try my best to be there because we just love being there because we find people can express what they love to do. You know,
sure.
and it's a joy. And even you, Mary. Even you. So
even
you come
I.
Out, yes, come out and share that. You come out and share that beautiful voice with us. So, and we always have fun, don't we?
Absolutely. We really
always.
Do.
Yeah,
and I think you're involved with the union, the musicians union,
right? And that's with that with the Justice for Jazz artists, and we go down and we appear before City Council. We go everywhere trying to get pension for the jazz musicians.
That is super.
And
oh,
I'm also
goodness.
Involved with Jazz Foundation of America. And so I don't stay. I can't say I'm not busy.
You don't tread water very much. You're just out there in the swim of everything. It's amazing.
And it keeps on going, and it keeps on growing.
Yes,
growing.
And I love the way you reach out to people and bring them in and help them to, you know, to get involved.
Yes, because this is what helps us through life. And this is what then spreads out to help somebody else. So if
right.
I can reach out to you, then you can get past you to reach out to someone else.
Right.
And we help each other grow.
And I know that we've got to get your computer set up so that people can reach you online.
Yes,
but that's
yes.
That's important because you can actually reach a few million more people if you get online, you know.
Yes.
But my goodness, you haven't slowed down enough to plug in the wires yet.
it's really something. But I think they also could find a little something on me with Jordanico. I need to remember. I know it's the Big Apple because Sandy Jordan has the Big Apple Jazz Festival, I think. And I'm involved. Somewhere in there, I'm all involved in that one, too. And people could catch me singing. And you can also find me on YouTube.
Oh,
You can that find would be me good. On, yes, you can find me on YouTube.
And that would be K-E-I-S-H-A?
St. Joan, S-T, period, capital J-O-A-N.
And the first name is Keisha, K-E-I-S-H-A.
Right.
St. Joan.
Right.
How did you segue from Joan Robinson to Keisha?
I went down to AGVA. That's when it was. I was trying to join AGVA, and so they said to me, well, what name did you want as a stage name? And I said, Laura Manning. Because my daughter's father used to call me Laura because he said I was like his dream. So he always called me Laura. So Laura Manning was it. Classy name. I like that.
Okay. There you go.
So there's a young lady that went with me. Her name was Juanita, which is still Joan. So Joan and Joan. We go down to AGVA, and when she found out I was changing my name, she said to them, well, if I wanted to change my name, what could I change my name to? And they said, well, we can't tell you what name to change your name to because you can end up having a name of a striptease dancer. Oh, boy, that was funny. Oh, the and we laughed, ha, ha, ha. 2 weeks later when I said I did not receive my card yet as Laura Manning, they said, oh, well, she's a striptease dancer.
Oh dear! So that it sounds like the person we were talking to had a little bit of ESP.
Okay. All right. So then
you had to make something up.
What name am I going to put? What name am I going to use? I haven't a clue. So the secretary who was there, she said, well, why don't you use the name Keisha? She said, if you don't take that name, I'll never speak to you again.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Keisha? I say, that's a pretty name. What kind of a name is that? So she said, it's Arabic. I said, really? I said, what does it mean? She said, saint. I said, saint? Oh, but that is such a pretty name. And she told me how to spell it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on my way back to Brooklyn. Oh, and at that time, I lived on King's Highway in Brooklyn.
Okay.
King's Highway, okay?
I hear you. Uh-huh.
So I go all the way home now trying to figure out what am I going to put with Keisha. That I'm not going to put Keisha Robinson. No, that's not
Doesn't
it.
Doesn't sound right. Doesn't
no.
sound right. Mm-hmm.
I get into my apartment, and at that time I had a long haul, and I walk down the hall to the living room. And just as I reached the living room, I heard, St. Joan, that's your name. Your name is Joan. So it's St. Joan. There's St. James and there's St. John, but there's no St. Joan. And that was 73 or somewhere in that area. I've never had to change my name ever again.
Okay. Well, it's unique, it's original, and obviously it's yours.
And that's right. The Holy Spirit gave it, and that's how it remains.
Aha. Okay.
You know,
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that's
now,
pretty amazing.
It is. And the young lady who said to me, if you don't take the name Keisha, I'll never speak to you again. I wish I could find her because I have not seen her in all these years.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what
So she didn't speak to you again anyway, huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
But I would love to find her, okay?
Yeah.
I would love to find her.
Okay.
Amazing, isn't it?
It certainly is. It certainly is. Do you ever sing with Sandy at La Revista?
Yes, once in a while I am able to get to La Revista and sing with her. I really love doing it because I love James the owner, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I have not been able to get there for the year yet.
Uh-huh.
Not one time.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But
I was at the Pesca, what was it they call it? Pesca Pasta on Columbus Avenue and for 91st.
Yes.
So I was there once. Let's see now. Oh, she's involved with a lot of things too. So you can actually see her on what Tuesday nights, and where is she? My goodness. Let's see. Okay. Fridays. At Pesca Pasta, and then Thursdays at La Revista.
Yes.
So that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. It's New Apple Productions.
New Apple Productions. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's who.
Yeah.
Yes. New.
So
Apple.
You can always get in touch with. With Sandy, and she'll probably know where to track you down, huh?
Yes, because she has a web page for me. She has me on. She has a web page on me.
And what web page is that?
It's under the New Apple, and a New Apple, and then Keisha St. Joan. So I guess it may be New Apple Productions / Keisha St. Joan. Something
okay.
Like that. Something, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go.
Ah, see, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yes. It's, I'm praying to be doing more, you know. Still,
uh-huh.
I have at least 100 more years to go.
You better. And also there's a CD Baby Music Store. They can buy some of your CDs.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So now we have that. Good.
Isn't that
so?
Yes.
Keisha St. Joan on Facebook and. New Apple, is it New Apple Music and Art Productions?
Is that what it is? I can't remember.
I can't either.
Or New Apple Productions?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just have one thing. Let me ask you quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a young girl, a young singer, male or female, what would you tell them?
First, I would say, learn your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say, to go classical. If you're thinking of jazz or anything else, I would still say, learn classical train yourself classically, because I think once you get that, then you have more of a
basis.
Yes. That an ability to be able to do whatever you want to do with more, it's more. I think it's more beautiful to be able to have everything under your belt than just have one thing.
Yes, indeed.
And can't expand.
Right.
It's
someone who just signed, just called in. And the last minute of the show, I do hope that you go on Blog Talk Radio /Mary Blake and listen to the archives there. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. You just gave me the information I was calling for.
Okay. Well, please do that. And I'm so sorry that you just found us at such a short late time, but we are here. We've been here a whole hour, and starting out at 1:30 New York. Who are you, by the way?
This is Lawrence from Atlanta.
Ah, and Lawrence from Atlanta. Well, please call in every Sunday. I have someone and no. Very rarely is anyone as fascinating as Miss Keisha here. But,
and I just want to say, have a blessed one, Lawrence, from Atlanta.
Thank you. Many blessings to you and yours.
Thank you so much.
So go on blogtalkradio.com /Mary Blake, and you'll be able to hear the whole show. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm on Facebook, the Mary Blake Facebook.com/TheMaryBlake. There are about 5,000 of them, and nobody could find me, so I decided I would be the Mary Blake. So,
okay.
So then no one would get mixed up again. And please, stay in touch, Lawrence, and I have your name. I'll give you a call. How about that?
Okay, that'll work, too. I appreciate it.
All righty.
Stay blessed.
And thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Many blessings to you all. Bye.
I'll call you soon. And thank you, Keisha. We are off the air now, but it's been lots of fun.
I do hope
that some people get some inspiration from this. There's an awful lot there. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you,
darling.
Thank you.
And thank you so much here, baby.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.